Glenn Phillips, the front man for Toad the Wet Sprocket, he's in studio tonight. He's got a new solo record, and this is a new song. It's called Fever. We'll catch up with him with an interview later, but here is Glenn Phillips.
With the shrug of her shoulders, the mountain came down, tore a path all the way to the water, through my sleeping town. And the trails I'd wandered all erased in the birth of the million-year-old rock from the naked gasping earth. Oh, my children, where you gonna go? Now you've lost the land you called your home. And the earth is burning, fever on her brow, crying, oh my children, who can save you now? Now the winters hit harder, the summers are fire, and the rains are the tears of a mother for her rebellious, reckless child. But still the spring brings clover amid the blackened oaks, the sprays of fledgling branches and the wild flowers below. Oh, my children, where you gonna go? Now you've lost the land you called your home. And the earth is burning, fever on her brow, crying, oh my children, who will save you now? Oh my children, oh my children, who can save you now? Chaos is my lover, fate is my bride. We will meet at the edge of the water and the ever-rising tide.
There you go, Glenn Phillips, yes. Front man from Toad the Wet Sprocket in studio tonight. We're going to talk with him coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. He's got a brand new solo record, and he is at Old Town School of Folk Music tonight. Glenn Phillips. Oh, man. It's amazing to think about. Toad the Wet Sprocket is celebrating 30 years. They got a summer tour coming around. It should be coming through Chicago this summer, but amazing to think about that band, which has been kind of off the radar for a couple of years, but amazing to think that that band is celebrating 30 years. We'll talk with Glenn coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my next guest is in town at the Old Town School of Folk Music tonight. I first met Glenn Phillips at a meet and greet at the Woodfield Mall. It was 1992, and his band was playing that night at Harper College. That band had just released a new album called Fear. It was being played on college rock, mostly at first, but WXRT started playing the single All I Want and the follow-up Walk on the Ocean. Am I getting warmer? The band I saw was called Toad the Wet Sprocket, and they went on to be a household name in modern rock. They sold over 4 million records. They're also touring this summer to celebrate 30 years of Toad, but Glenn Phillips isn't here with the band. He's here touring on his solo record. It's called Swallowed by the New. The album came out last summer, got great reviews, as Phillips put his personal life into the album, reflecting on a recent divorce from his wife of 23 years. Glenn Phillips, wonderful to see you again.
Great to see you. Hello.
That show was, it's fun to think of back to 1992, but it was a show that was in a, you know, in a community college in, right outside of Chicago. And, you know, it was interesting because probably a blip on your, all the shows that you've done in your life, but for the people I were with and then eight people that came out to the show, it was seminal. It was like a moment. Do you think about that? Like the idea that so many people have moments around your music, around your band?
I've had a lot of moments around music. I mean, it saved my life more than once. It's odd at a personal level to be part of that same thing for other people, but it's also, it's the function of music.
Yeah.
It's to, you know, I don't know.
Is there a point where you recognize that? Is it more and more people recognize who you were and your music and used your music and had it be part of their emotional experience? Is there a point in your career where you're like, oh man, I had no idea so many people knew Toad the Wet Sprocket?
Yeah, I mean, more a change in thinking about music for its functionality, I guess, as a technology. For kind of in, you know, spiritual or emotional change or growth, and rather than I'm in a band, it's fun, I got these songs, let's play.
Right.
You know, it's like there's that whole side of it, and the part that's easier to market, and especially the part that is the center of rock and roll, that started as this voice of youth and voice of rebellion, and this, you know, with this idea that every, you know, it's the music of the young and beautiful and somewhat disenfranchised,
yeah,
but with enough resources to buy a ticket, right? It's been interesting to grow and age and watch rock age with us, right? And we're mm-hmm. a few generations into this movement now. And the 90s was even in this particular, you know, period of having this punk rock attitude of bands going into working with the major labels and having hits on the radio, but trying to be cool and anti-commercial and hate their label and hate their single. And hate, you know, we were this like really awful era of, you know, these really awkward hypocrisies. But as I get older, and I've been doing in the last couple of years, a lot of community choir leading, you know, just like living room choirs, 12 to 30 people, and, you know, songs that you can kind of orally teach quickly, and getting people who have been told they can't sing to open up their mouth again and join in, and to get, I mean, there's like, you get a bit of a contact high in the audience,
yeah,
but the people who are getting the highest at the concert are the musicians, right?
Yeah.
Not in a substance way, but like, to be making that sound is a transcendent experience.
It sounds to me that even with Toad the Wet Sprocket, I mean, mm-hmm. and the work that you're doing now, and I want to get into the new record, but there seems to be a need to find purpose, or at least to be a satisfying experience for music. Like, it's not just about making music, being ambitious and being the best rock and roll band in the world, but there seems to be that it courses through your blood, and it manifests itself in so many different ways. But really, truly, at the end of the day, it's about finding purpose or satisfaction.
Yeah, and I guess that was a very long-winded and inconclusive way of saying, I think I started this just kind of more guided by what lit me up, what made me feel good, and then the function of music for most of history. I mean, there are a few composers who were, you know, it was a methodical job and you were, you know, doing your commission work, but it's always been a sacred thing. It's always been a way that people wake up and a way that people connect, and not just a way that a small group of particularly accomplished musicians do it. Mm-hmm. It's something that's a birthright. It's something that if you're in any indigenous culture, it's like while you're pounding out your cornmeal or while you're working in the field or building a house or hunting, you sing, unless you're trying to be really quiet so you don't scare the deer away. But that you sing all the time together. That's just what people do.
Yeah.
And we don't do that. We watch other people sing and we professionalize it. And I think it's taking one of the most vital shared experiences we have and alike in the same way we take many other kind of sacred medicines and commodify them. I think we did the same with music. So it was weird to start out of just, I needed to express myself. I didn't care if it was music or theater or writing. Right. I was in high school when the band started, and then we got signed, and then it became career, and it took a long time for me to start reclaiming music for something that had nothing to do with commerce.
Well, and you talk about expression. This album, Swallowed by the New, it is about, and you can hear it in the vocals, you can hear it in the music. It's somewhat of a somber tale. I mean, it's about rebirth, but it's also about a divorce and a marriage that lasted 23 years. Mm-hmm. Is that what this is? Is it cathartic in a way that you're using this to express how you feel in this moment in your life?
Yeah, in some ways, I've talked to a few friends, like, it depends on how you write, but sometimes you're writing letters from your future better self to your current self. on this record, anybody who's been through divorce, it's a really painful thing, and it's very easy to get caught in blame, recrimination, especially if you're not the person who chose it, right? The person who knows you best no longer wants to be your partner. That you can take that in a really harsh way. And it's always surprised me when somebody said, it was out of the blue, I have no idea. It's like, I know all the reasons. I would have given it another round, but I wasn't unaware of any of our issues.
When you think about I think about this all the time because people will go to therapists for a lot of their issues, especially if mm-hmm. they're not artistic.
I did that too.
but I think that for musicians and for artists, and there's a long history of this, and people being able to express themselves and what they're going through, mm-hmm. even if it's painful, most of the times when it's painful, and it turns into something that resonates and relates to the listener.
Yeah, and I wanted to, rather than talk about the relationship, rather than talk about the individual things that get wrong, that made it. And once again, it was categorically a successful relationship. We both still respect and love each other. Our kids are amazing. We won, and we found our end. And, it's been, it's a major life change that I didn't plan on. Right. But at the same time, this is strangely also been the most alive I felt in my entire adult life. I've been in more pain and had more change, but I got woken up in a way that's really important. And the album, I wanted to do something that was not just my story, right? And it's and to get out of this relational or transactional, way of talking about it had to be more about grief, about the things that we love changing, about watching our lives take an unexpected turn and having to adapt to it, and about the capacity to love while you're hurt by those who love you. And so, what's made me really proud of this record is that it's spoken to people who are going through illness, who've just lost family members, that it applies as well. And I found that the literature I was reading during my divorce, it was not divorce literature. It wasn't about relationships. It was Pema Chodron. It was Mary Oliver. It was David White. I started reading a lot of poetry.
In a way, using art, other people's art, to help you with your grief.
Yes.
Or your experience. I don't want to say grief, but
both. Grief is a big part of it. And we shun the concept of grief, grief is a central part of the human experience. David White talks about it really beautifully in terms of, we try to avoid heartbreak. And he says, the thing about heartbreak is, I think he describes it as the inevitable consequence of loving anything deeply. Because mm-hmm. everything you love changes, everything you love transforms, even, your kids getting older and moving away is an absolute heartbreak. Your world is torn apart and nothing's gone wrong. and everyone dies. And every, like, it's this idea. How do you sit? It's what all the religions try to deal with. You're sitting, you're going to die. Everything you love is going to die. If it doesn't die, it's going to change. And if you don't die first, it'll die right out. You know, it's like,
you're right.
And so we're these gorgeous little sparks that get to experience life for an indeterminable amount of time. I there's a guy who came to my singing circles in Santa Barbara who he'd just been diagnosed with bladder cancer and was probably in a pretty deep state of introspection about his mortality, and he tripped and hit his head and instantly died on the sidewalk. Even as he was contemplating his mortality, it came from
something he didn't expect,
a ridiculously
right?
random direction and instantaneously. And we're all dealing with that.
Yeah,
I live in California. We're all waiting for the great earthquake and all the super volcanoes to go again. And we're not in control. And the only thing we're in control of is our reaction to what's around us. And so these songs are much more about, like, how do I use this to wake up instead of going to sleep? I mean, the big issue that I've had, you know, since the divorce is, and I fell in love again very quickly, and kind of, I was so desperate to fall in love. It was about a year after I decided I fell in love, and I kind of was not as cautious and slow as I should have been. I was so ready to be loved again. And it was a very tumultuous relationship, and I've seen, you know, a huge dynamic yeah. range in that relationship.
Well,
and it's been interesting there's a part of the human psyche that wants to go to sleep, that wants to go, if that's the cost of loving, I'm never going to do it again. I am just going to go to sleep, wait for the bell to ring, try to stay comfortable. And then when my ticket gets punched, at least I won't have hurt myself anymore. And it's an awful way to live.
Yeah. Glenn, it's amazing to me to think about, and thank you for sharing this. And it's amazing to think about the new record, but then to think about all the Toad records, the Toad the Wet Sprocket records, almost as chapters in your life. And as you said, you started in high school. And to go to the early records, even to the ones that were the monster successes, and even some of the stuff after. Do you see it that way, that they're chapters in your life, and the songs reflect where you were in that moment?
Yeah, they're all chapters. And the thing is, my very first chapter, I mean, when I was the age of my oldest daughter, who's 23 now, I had what in the biopic is that's the career. That's the end of the story right there. Right. I got famous for a little bit and sold a bunch of records for half a minute. And then my life continued. And I had my struggling years more after my success. And I've had to, you know, most musicians, especially if you were brought up in the major label days when the labels, you know, the CD had come out, but there was still the LP and the cassette. They had more, nobody was pirating. Internet wasn't there. They were so flush with money, happy to start bands on new careers. It was a great time to be signed to a major label. And people will bellyache a lot about what's wrong with the business right now. And there was some part of me that even at the beginning just distrusted the machinations of fame. And, you know, it's this thing of there's a formula for success or whatever, this equation, right?
Right.
And more to question the equation itself about what actually makes a successful life. It's we have so much emphasis on comfort, wealth, status, these other things, and it always comes back to its presence, community, time you spend in nature, time you spend giving, time you spend loving, you know, that.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of, I think, books written on positive attitudes and this kind of idea of the entrepreneurial spirit that leads you to these material gains. And this idea of, you know, if you're not reaching the material gains, that you're somehow not spiritually endowed. And the people I see who are the happiest are not the richest. They occasionally are. They're occasionally incredibly successful people, but they're the incredibly successful people who got incredibly successful by doing what they loved and what was most interesting to them. Right. It's not the people who are wanting to win at any cost. Those people are frickin' miserable.
Glenn Phillips, my guest, his new album, Swallowed by the New, just out last year. Of course, the frontman for Toad the Wet Sprocket, which is celebrating their 30th year, or plus, 30 plus, of course. You're at Old Town School tonight. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Get you to perform something?
Yes.
That would be great. Glenn Phillips in studio, Extension 720. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio, Glenn Phillips, Swallowed by the New is the album. He's at Old Town School of Folk Music tonight. Glenn, you're going to perform for us right now. What are we going to hear?
This one is called Go. It is on the kind of more relational side of the things on the record, but about the... I heard this podcast a while ago that was talking about lighthouses and lighthouses. This is as this analogy for the type of love that instead of saying like "come closer, let me hold you," says "I am casting this light around this perimeter to show you the area you should not go for the benefit of all because I love you." So,
all right, great, perfect.
There you go,
Glenn Phillips. Here's the song, Go.
Love, your head is down, your eyes are on the floor. No matter what we give, it leaves us wanting more. And you know which way to go. For all the empty hours and restless afternoons, for all the faded flowers of dreams we spoke too soon, you know which way to go. But there's no harbor here, there's only danger near. Cliffs above and rocks below. And though I want you close, this light can only glow to warn you far away from shore. Saying I love you. Now go, sound in the fog, horn lonely echoes across the bay. The beacon of the tower lights the way. So you know which way to go. But I won't have another wreck upon my watch. But I can't tell you what to do, I know this much. You know which way to go. But there's no harbor here, there's only danger near. Cliffs above and rocks below. And I don't want to waste your time, but this light can only shine to warn you far away from shore. Saying I love you. Now go. Now go. still dreaming of your eyes, your mouth, your touch. But I won't have another wreck upon my watch. And you know which way to go.
The song Go, Glenn Phillips, in studio. Shallowed by the New is the record. Toad the Wet Sprocket, out and about this summer. Glenn Phillips on Extension 720.